I would entitle my message today is Taking Back Control of Your Mind. Our mind, all battles, before you go even into the practical side of life, the battles are won or lost up here. You've already decided, or Satan has, depending who you listen to, how you will go forward from there. If your mind is negative and Satan is feeding you negative thoughts, always negative, you will reap negative garbage. I can guarantee you it. The only way you will go about winning this battle of the mind is in my message here, and you will get to understand it clearly. So I want to start, first of all, by talking about the love of Jesus Christ and how once you have encountered it, you will never be the same again. The reason I believe in assurance of salvation is because I have encountered Jesus Christ. He changed my life. It is not possible for me to think that I can lose that because I know who he is. And once I became born again, he's the one that does the keeping. He's trustworthy. Even if I stray, he will have ways to get me back onto the path. Don't worry. If you don't listen, maybe his rod will get a bit harder. I have a scripture for that too. Actually, I have an incredible message already for next week. The Lord woke me up at night 2 days ago, and I never typed in my life so fast. In about an hour, I had my message typed out. But it was really a good experience for me. It was about at 3 o'clock I started typing, and by 4 I was pretty much finished. And then I woke up every now and then to add some stuff that needed to be added. But it's already done, and I was wondering whether I should have it today or next week. And I said, no, we'll stick with the plan. I'll go with this message today and that one next week. But I think it is really beautiful. What I'm talking about here, it has something to do with who we are in Christ. So again, going back to if you have encountered Jesus Christ and his love, I listened to some testimonies down in, in Georgia, where these young people had a revival going. So they went to the beach and they put tarps into their trucks and did some baptisms. Actually, Fox News carried this. And they were doing some baptisms, and then they had testimonies. And this young lady got up and gave a testimony of who she used to be. Like, she was a scientist and an atheist, full-fledged atheist, hated Christianity. And the love of Jesus Christ hit her. I tell you, you're never the same once the love of Christ melts your heart. He can melt you. I don't care how hard you are. He will melt you into something that he will then put you into the mold of what he wants you to be. And it's lovely. You will turn into something that is beautiful. That's your spirit. Now your body's a little bit of a different, but it's on the right path at least. That's where it starts. If there is no beginning, then there is no after. But you have to start from somewhere. That's where it starts. He can take the hardest atheist, the hardest criminal, and change him. No other religion can do that. It is not possible. This is the love of Jesus Christ. So, and going back to the, and that's why we enjoy messages of salvation here. Like Pastor Dave is to me, second to none when it comes to giving messages of salvation. He has one of the best salvation messages. And we've greatly enjoyed his messages over the year. It reignites our hearts. Understand them because we have been saved. So messages of salvation are always a refresher. They always ignite us again to what Christ did for us. So it's a beautiful thing to have a reminder. So we're all comfortable with enjoy that message of salvation, and it is because we understand it from experience and we can relate to that message from experience. However, when it comes to the bearing much fruit and pruning side of Christianity, we squirm a bit and whine and complain when we see or experience any type of hardships or inconvenience that are engineered by Jesus or allowed by him to teach us on what we need and how we ought to bear fruit. So to go to the next level and to bear much fruit, there needs to be some pruning done. Anybody who's been a gardener, I grew up working in a garden, so my uncle taught us a lot about pruning trees and how you have to prune this or that to get more fruit. Otherwise, these little suckers that grow, they're actually, that's what we call them, suckers. They sap energy from the plant and don't allow the plant to bear more fruit. So if they get snipped off, And in human terms, that could be pretty painful sometimes, depending what it is. But the end results are great. You end up bearing much fruit, much more fruit. So we merely repeat what we hear from others when it comes to experiences and learn to repeat what they have learned through experiences without putting the necessary effort in ourselves so we can speak from experience. At least that's how I see it. When it comes to the practical things of life and me teaching here, it's almost futile for me to teach on something that I don't know nothing about. I'm just repeating somebody else's experience. Like, I could quote all kinds of people and good stuff here. It really doesn't... I'm basically also preaching to myself, which is not bad either, because I need to hear it too. But if I teach it from a position of where I experienced what I'm teaching, it's far more powerful. Like I just said about salvation, we all understand salvation. It's powerful because we understand it, and we teach it and preach it from a point of understanding and of not only understanding, of having experienced it. So this morning, I'm not merely your teacher here, but a fellow student who's also learning about how we ought to live our everyday lives as believers. There is now the practical side of life. Once we know the theoretical side of things. So learning how to walk in the Spirit, doing away with sudden outbursts, especially of anger, slander, and so many other things that are contrary to the Holy Spirit and the teachings of Jesus and the New Testament writers. So here's where I am at with this. So through the wilderness and around the mountain path, we all have to through it, to go through it. There's an example in the Old Testament how the children of Israelites walked through the wilderness. They could have been there in a very short time. But because of their murmuring, complaining, it had to be a 40-year journey. I'm on a 40-year journey now. I must not have been a good listener. So we need to put a stop to this whining and complaining and start listening to what God has for us. So here, it's a minute by minute. This is the information we need to go to the next level. Just pay attention to this here. This is what I do, and I can preach this because I'm doing this. It is a minute-by-minute, deliberate and concerted effort of calling upon Him, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, depending on Him for a God-pleasing outcome of every circumstance that is put in your way with much grace. Never, don't forget the grace, because you will fall, you will fail. But you need grace, not only for yourself, but for others who are failing. So you can never miss the grace part of this. So I'm very much disappointed in myself sometimes when how quickly I lose focus of Jesus and His providences when I run into some challenges that come along the way. When the pressure is on, in other words, where God seems to engineer my circumstances to get me to focus back on Him. And those things will come. They'll keep coming. They don't come because the devil is always there. No, they come for a reason. You have to learn from them. You will not always walk around things. You have to learn to go through them. God is going to help you through them. Don't always think that they're the devil. Maybe that God uses the devil to put him there to train you in patience. Because if you pray for patience, guess what you'll get? You will get something that you might not like. So be careful what you pray for. But we all need patience. When God engineers my circumstances to get my focus back at Him, so regardless of the circumstances, and this will happen over and over and over until I learn to walk through my circumstances with His help and grace. So instead of trying to blame the devil for everything bad that comes our way and praying for the perfect smooth ride and flowing life of nothing ever going wrong, I asked God for help to guide me through these trials and tribulations that work patience. So number one, so start by controlling your mind and your tongues. Number one, I'll start with the mind. The mind is our biggest enemy, and we need to control our minds. Don't allow Satan to control your mind. Be very careful on what we allow ourselves or myself or yourselves to think or muse about. Don't just let any thought that comes to your mind, don't dwell on everything. If you see it's bad, discern it and cast it away. Rebuke the devil. Because if you don't do this, this will determine what outcome, what will come out of your mouth, and also how we conduct our lives. So it has a snowball effect. What happens if you entertain your mind, good or bad, if you follow up on it, it will flow into your mouth and out your lips, and your life will be that, whether it is negative or positive. So now taking back control of our mind will for sure help us control our tongues. In Romans 12, my first scripture, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, that's not entertaining every thought that comes along. You need to renew your mind, especially from your old garbage that you used to think about, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Have you ever noticed every thought that you have had victory over, Satan doesn't bother us anymore with those specific thoughts? At least that's been my experience. For example, before I learned about salvation or losing assurance of salvation, he would always come and bombard me. Oh, you're going to lose your salvation if you do this. You're going to lose your salvation. Once I learned that I was securing Christ, that was it for Satan bugging me on losing my salvation. He cannot bug you anymore, because that's the power of knowing who you are in Christ. There is a victory. There is freedom. So I will encourage anyone and everyone who is born again to get to know that they are securing Christ. And your security will never ever depend on yourself, because then we are subject to losing it. But it depends on the one keeping us, and his promises are yes, yes. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? A sound mind." So you see, once you're saved, you should have a sound mind. That means you should be sure of what the Bible says about you. "In perfect peace, that you are secure in Christ, no more tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along and tries to tell us we're not saved." Once that battle is won, the realization that you've been saved, seated in heavenly places, the second you become born again, becomes reality-based in our minds and your minds are set at ease. Now that's the salvation part. Now that the salvation part is secured, let us move on to the perfecting of our thoughts and our tongues and our actions. See, that requires discipline now, because this is now the body I'm talking about. The spiritual side is taken care of. So number one, if you want to be used by God, God cannot use you if you have a very chaotic mind and life as a believer and a very loose tongue. For God is the creator of professionalism. He wants you to be very professional. Paul was a professional. He was taught in all the professional things of the Jews, of how to conduct himself. He knew how to keep the law, how to do things. And God used him to spread the gospel, because he knew exactly how to conduct himself. And the Holy Spirit also was there. That made it really possible. So he expects us to be very professional with the way we conduct ourselves and the way we operate with ourselves, and not only with ourselves and with each other. Discipline and discipleship is not for the faint of heart and is a serious matter if you want to serve the Lord. Do you possess the peace of Jesus that passes all understanding, like it says in Philippians 4:7? So that's part of the mind again, and the heart. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, that's Philippians 4, verse 7, "It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let us strive and lay hold of that peace. So now I want to take you into a scripture that Jesus talked about. It's actually the second shortest scripture verse in the Bible. And it's set right dab smack in the middle of end time eschatology. Jesus talking about the end times. And the scripture is Luke 17, verse 32. "Remember Lot's wife." After talking about what's coming, what is to come, basically the end of the world, Jesus throws this in. "Remember Lot's wife." That's an odd thing to throw into end time eschatology, isn't it? But this is what I got out of it. They were told by the angel, first of all, I rehearse the story a little bit for those who are not familiar with it. They were told by the angel of the Lord who was leading them out of the city not to look back. She, Lot's wife, looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Now imagine that God sends an angel to rescue us and tells us there is only one thing not to do, and that is to not look back at our past life, to forget about it all, everything in the past. Draw a line, you will not remember it anymore. It's done, it's past. That's ultimately what he's telling her. That life is over. But to keep look, but if we, because just like God burned her past to ashes, so did Jesus bury our past in the depths of the sea. Remember, there is no, even now looking back yesterday, it's all past. Whatever you did yesterday, it's done. You've got a new page, a new start, a new beginning. It's past, it's burned. Don't look back, or the same thing will happen to you. I will continue here. But if we keep looking back and keep digging up the past that God has dragged us out of, it will not be very favorable for us. So let us not let Satan control our minds about past sins or how people have hurt us or wronged us or even how good we used to have it in the past. Let's move on to bigger and better things that God has for us or whatever it is that God has for us. The hard truth is we all hate change and are afraid of uncertainty. But fear not, we're in the hands of the Creator. He has something in front of us that is far greater than what we're going to be leaving behind. The children of Israel had it great in Israel or in Egypt, but God told them not to look back. He's got something far better, but you had to go through a path in the wilderness to get to that better promised land. And so it is with us. Just like it was with Lot's wife, we need, he had something better in front of her, but she looked back and turned into a useless pillar of salt. So if we don't trust God with all our hearts and our minds, and we'll look, but if we don't trust God with all our hearts and our minds, and we'll look back at the things that we are to leave behind, and our fear of change or growth, we will simply stagnate. It will simply stagnate us and turn us into a useless pillar of salt. We will become useless for the kingdom of God. If our minds and hearts refuse to be obedient to that, what God has called us to walk in holiness, to walk in the Spirit, to hear his voice, to grow in love and in grace, and to do what 2 Corinthians 10:5, if you want to put that scripture up, talks about here, to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every bringing into captivity every thought, not some of your thoughts, every thought to the obedience of Christ. This will we do if God permit us. So now let's jump to the tongue part of my message. James 4, I basically just have to read the scriptures because you can't, that's the message in itself. James 4, verse 11, starting King James Version. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. I'll put in sisters and sisters. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother or sister speaks evil of the law, judges the law. But if you judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. James 3, verse 5 to 12. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire can start. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue. He's writing to believers here, my friends. This is not unbelievers he's writing to. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell, of every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea. We can tame them. And they have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It is unruly and evil, full of deadly poison. Wherewith we bless God in church, we praise him, we have the right words, but at work sometimes what comes out of our mouth is, you wonder where people, if we're believers or not. Wherewith we bless we God, even the Father, wherewith curse we men. So in other words, with this tongue we curse men. which are made after the likeness of God. Excuse me. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be. Does a fountain send forth the same place, out of the same place, bitter, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olive berries or vines or figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what comes out of your mouth, that defiles you. Remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you defile that temple with a foolish tongue, God will destroy your body, not your spirit. Remember, that's been taken care of. So don't give the devil any ammunition for bodily harm. Our body is frail enough as it is without you aiding God to allow Satan at your body for quick destruction. So back off from even coming against your own body with a loose tongue by running it. Remember again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So nurture it. Do the right thing. That'll give you 70, 80 years of healthy life. So how do we go about our daily lives and win this battle of the mind and taming of the tongue? The answer is actually quite simple, in theory. The doing is where we have to discipline ourselves by tapping into the help of the Holy Spirit endlessly. You cannot cease there. If you do for a second let down your guard, you will fail and fall on your face. However, this is where I preach grace. Never allow grace to cease from this message, because if you allow grace to not be there, you will condemn yourself and fall into even worse place than you have been before. So that's why I always preach grace, because we're living in the dispensational age of grace, where grace abounds. So if we do that, we will succeed. But if we try all this without our own power and strength, we will come up against something way more powerful than ourselves and will leave us with more questions than answers on why this is happening to us. So when this is happening and you do not plug in to the grace of God, I like the song, last song that we sang, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." If you do not learn and have not learned to trust in Jesus, when the rough get the tough and the rough come your way, you need to start doing that. Learn to lean on Jesus through the struggles of life. Praise him for his goodness and thank him for his blessings and his faithfulness, and thank him for even the hardships that you go through, because they're there also to teach you some stuff. And the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will give you peace and will not let your heart be troubled nor afraid. In closing, some final scriptures out of Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 27. But you have not so learned Christ. It's Paul writing to the Ephesians. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupted according to the deceitful lusts. God, you have to separate yourself from that. See, that is part of the walk now, once you become born again, if you have so heard Christ. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So if we do and speak evil and slander one another, we're hurting not only the body of Christ, but also ourselves. Be you angry? Sin not when you're angry. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. So in other words, when you sin against a brother, don't go to bed. Or a sister, angry. Make it right before you go to bed. Neither give place to the devil, and then you will win that battle. Last scripture, Ephesians 30, verse 20. My favorite scripture of all time. Anyway, one of them. There's so many that are my favorite, but this is one of them. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. Remember how it states it here. First, unto Jesus, who is able to do, or the Holy Spirit, who is our helper here, exceeding abundantly. Abundant is already lots. This is exceeding abundantly. Above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works where? in us. So within you is all power that you need to be an overcomer. It's already there. You possess all power within you to be an overcomer. So my brothers and sisters, this is the message that I have for you and me. When anything comes your way, Satan throws a wrench into your spokes or trips you up, get up, dust yourself off, and say, I will be an overcomer by the power and the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. Amen.